Hello, everyone, and welcome to Seriously Loco, the Seriously Crazy fan podcast for El Paso Locomotive FC. I'm Phil Bakke, your host, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Austin Young. Austin, how are you doing?
Pretty good, Phil. Pretty good. How about yourself today?
I'm doing well, man. I think before we get into too much serious talk here, I wanted to ask you just a non-soccer question to get things kicked off. And that question is, what song are you jamming right now? Like, what song can you just, you got it on repeat whenever you're around the house or out driving around? What are you jamming right now?
Sheesh, you're gonna make me have to go to my Spotify real quick. I'm telling you, man, I don't listen to much music. It's not that I don't like it, it's just there's so many podcasts I listen to.
Okay, what podcasts you've been jamming aside from this one, obviously?
Yeah, I just have Seriously Local on repeat, guys. No, most recently, actually, the one I was listening to on my ride home today from work was The Tipping Point with Mike Tipton over at 1380.
Oh, yeah.
Fox Sports. He just had Mark Lowry on and Omar. I just listened to that yesterday, and I was listening to the one that he had with the Santados the other day, the football team from Juarez.
Oh, nice.
So that was the most recent thing I listened to.
That's legit. Yeah, I shout out to Mike because he's actually – invited us onto his show, so I think next week we'll be talking to Mike on his radio show slash his podcast. So could be a nice little crossover. I'll be real though, as far as songs right now, I got no shame in my game in saying that I'm really digging the song Without Me by Halsey. I'm not normally like a big pop music guy, but that song slaps. I'm just going to say like I said, no shame in my game.
Whatever gets you through the day, no?
Yeah. So we got big stuff happening here down here both with the club and with the podcast. So I just wanted before we got too deep into it, we're joining the Beautiful Game Network, which is an awesome kind of collaboration of a bunch of creators, podcasters, bloggers, that most of which talk about the USL, and most are at the championship level just because of the amount of clubs. So we've got a cool opportunity to be able to collaborate with the other podcasts out there from across the league, and I think you can expect to see some of those people making appearances. Are you excited to get to know the other fans across the league, Austin, in terms of seeing what these other fan bases bring to the table now that we're in the league?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I'm excited to see a lot of what other friends are going to bring outside of San Antonio. We'll get to that later, but yeah. No, it's great. I mean, like, I think I've mentioned to you in person before, once a team got announced, I was on Reddit a lot. If y'all don't know, USL Championship actually has a Reddit thread. A lot of the fans are on in there, and believe it or not, a lot of them talk a lot of trash. So I'm excited. I'm just waiting for the season to start, and then I'm gonna head it right on in there with our trash talking. But I have listened to a couple of the podcasts around the league and some pretty good insight concerning the other teams, you know.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's nice to kind of have that base because we're coming in, we're new to the league. We don't really fully kind of grasp the context around the league. We're very focused on our club and just kind of seeing how things get off the ground on March 9th. But a lot of these teams have a lot of experience now in the last few years in USL, and I think a lot of them will bring some really good insight, especially if we have whether it's Phoenix or some of the other clubs in the Western Conference, if we have them on before or after our matches against them, we can have some good banter and some good insight as well. So yeah, I'm really excited to be a part of it. It's really, really good opportunity, and yeah, I wanted to do the plug for them early since this is our first episode since joining the network. So the first club that we kind of had the biggest run-in with so far, biggest established club, is San Antonio. We played them goalless for 120 minutes. I won't get into the complexities of how it all played out, but 0-0 after 120. At that point, Austin, should we have just gone to penalty kicks just for fun?
For the fans, yes. I don't know if necessarily it would have affected much. I mean, it probably would have given some of the players some practice for penalty kicks, but I mean, for the fans, it would have just given somebody the right to talk shit, you know? So, yeah, hell, why not? Just taking the penalties at that point, especially with the rules they were playing with that night.
Yeah, I'm saying, I mean, we made it to the end of, you make it to the end of 120 minutes anywhere else, you're taking penalty kicks. So, I don't know. I would have liked to see it. The man who would have been at the center of a penalty shootout, but was at the center of Lokomotiv's performance anyway, was Logan Ketterer, who got the starting goal. It does look like he's the number one, and he had a performance to match with a man of the match performance. Do you like seeing a keeper get man of the match?
Hey, Phil, like I said last week, he was my man to watch this season. I'm excited for it. I'm a goalkeeper myself. Sorry. I'm excited for it. I mean, I think like you mentioned to me right now before we started recording was, I mean, it's good he wins man of the match, but it's not something you want to see regularly. That means we're not putting the ball in the net and we lose 2 points right there. Think about it, if that was a league game, Al Ketterer had a hell of a match, but we lose 2 points right there that we could have had just by not putting the ball in the back of the net. So, I mean, it's nice to know we're going to have somebody between the posts that is going to keep the ball out, but hopefully, you know, our attack can get going and start scoring some goals this season.
Yeah, and you did mention last week that he was the one to watch. Performance suggests that he's going to be a top keeper for us. I know I was a little, you know, not skeptical, but I was kind of reserving judgment only because he had only made the one senior appearance for the Crew, and it was in the U.S. Open Cup. So without a real pedigree at the professional level, it's kind of tough to see how a guy will adapt. But for him to be playing at this level, keeping a clean sheet and obviously making a couple of spectacular saves in the process. I know a few San Antonio FC fans reached out. They were eager to let us know that we were lucky to get away with a draw because of the aforementioned, you know, shit talking that is going to go on, but they did have some high quality chances. The one that went around was a spectacular save from a free kick. And yeah, seeing that type of performance out of a goalkeeper, especially when, you know, it takes time for offensive players to gel and for those type of patterns of play, I think to really mesh into something cohesive. And the one thing that I think we'll have to rely on early in the season is that we're going to be solid at the back. And when you've got a keeper in goal, I mean, you're a Manchester United fan, so you know how valuable a good keeper can be over the last few years.
Tell me about it. I argue with everybody that he's the best goalkeeper in the world. and I will take that to my grave. That he has the best keeper of the world. I mean, fortunately didn't show up at the World Cup, but we don't talk about that. no, but I mean, it's a great thing to know, you know, and as anybody knows, it's not just Ketterer doing it. It's our defensive line keeping the ball away from him. And honestly, guys, if you haven't seen that save from that free kick, head over to the AP Lokomotiv's Twitter, check it out. When I saw that, I got a huge smile on my face. I was like, all right, yeah. We got a good guy between the posts. And hopefully he can keep more clean sheets throughout the season and hopefully come away with the golden glove, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I think it is. It does instill a little bit of confidence as well into that defensive line when they know that there's someone back there that, you know, push comes to shove, they'll be able to make the save. I think it allows the defense to play a little more comfortably as well. With that, it was our second match in preseason against USL opposition, you know, championship opposition. It's the second time we've also struggled to create scoring opportunities and struggled to convert them. Is there a concern now that against the kind of higher level opposition, we're struggling we're struggling to put the ball in the back of the net?
I think it does raise a little concern, but like you did mention earlier, a lot of times, you know, offensive players, you take a little time to gel, and I think like last week you mentioned as well with Cabard, he's going to have to really step up and not leave it all to Omar to be putting the ball in the back of the net. Obviously, it does raise, you know, some concern, but hopefully as the season goes on, hopefully not too long, they start gelling and the mid and the forwards can start passing the ball to themselves and get something working and put the ball behind the net, in the net.
Yeah, I think it's obvious, you know, throughout the preseason, there have been plenty of games where we've been creative and been able to score. I think it is going to take time for our offensive players to, especially with the signings we've made, to make that jump to the championship, because a lot of them played, you know, Gebhard was playing in the NPSL last season with Jacksonville Armada, as were a few of the midfield and attacking players. And I think the level of defense that we're going to come up against in this season, is going to test our systems, up top. You mentioned an over reliance on Omar. I know in the match against New Mexico, we did see a couple of times where Omar was isolated. Is that a concern for you in the sense that, if we don't have Omar, are we looking a little short at striker?
Yeah, I mean that. No, definitely. That's a huge concern. I mean, if we're just relying on Omar, and you already mentioned before, we're not looking to sign any more strikers, it's going to be a huge concern. I mean, especially the way Mark wants to play the ball. I was listening to him recently, and he was saying they want to be aggressive from the start. So, you know, we definitely got to make sure that it's not just Omar up there trying to put the ball in the back of the net. I mean, I don't know if Mark's planning to push the mids up a little bit more to try to help with the attack, but, you know, hopefully something doesn't happen to Omar, God forbid, you know. And we're left without him, and we're just left with Gebhard. And it's a concern definitely that you want to have, but hopefully one that we don't have to worry about while the season goes on.
Right. So you brought up Mark Lowry, and I do want to mention, so Texas Soccer Journal was at the match in San Antonio, and they're a really good outlet for anyone. They talk about MLS teams in Texas all the way down to the amateur levels. They've been around for quite a long time, and they do an extremely good job. They talked to Mark Lowry, and I just want to highlight some of his comments. So thanks to @TX Soccer Journal. Follow them if you don't already. He said that he thought this was a good game to have in the preseason because San Antonio FC is very athletic and likes to play on the counter. He said that in the first half they played a 45 minute, a 30 minute, and then a 45 minute. So the first period was a little bit too end to end, too open for me. That is not us. He said we just got caught up in their game. They want it to be end to end. So basically, instead of us, you know, El Paso controlling possession, it went end to end. So he makes it clear in his comments that he wants to play this possession-based game, and control the pace of it. And that kind of goes back to what you were saying, in that, if we don't play like that, it becomes obvious because we start struggling up top. Is that kind of what you think we're seeing, just getting caught up in how other teams play?
I think so. And I mean, I'm just hoping that Mark Lowry's gonna be able to adapt as the game goes on, because obviously teams are gonna game plan against the possession game, and I'm hoping that we don't run into that every week, you know, that we're just gonna become stagnant and the team's gonna not know what to do. So I'm hoping Mark's gonna be able to adapt to that and be able to bring a different style in when it's needed. Obviously I'm not against the possession game as long as we're putting the goal in the net, as long as the defense can hold up there. But I think that's my biggest concern, is what's his going to be his plan when teams start to game plan against it and stop it.
So speaking of our next friendly opponent and our first opponent for in the inaugural game is Oklahoma City Energy, and they have experienced in preseason a little bit different than what Locomotive has, in that their star striker, DeShawn Brown, has been scoring a bunch of goals. I'm not sure exactly how many. I'd have to go back through Twitter and tally them, but I know it's somewhere in the five or six matches. So he's basically doing a goal a game in preseason. Is DeShawn Brown the type of name that that scares you? Because I know my first reaction was, oh no, it's someone that I recognize.
Yeah, and I remember you and me talking about that a while back, that, you know, it's somebody that we recognize that's going to come play against us twice, you know. And, I mean, it's before the San Antonio game, I think I would have been scared. But seeing afterwards how our defensive line and Ketterer played against San Antonio, how tough they were, wouldn't let anything behind them, I'm worried, but not as worried as I was before this past weekend.
Fair enough. Yeah, so it was OKC Energy this past weekend played against Phoenix Rising in Phoenix, and in Tucson, excuse me. And DeShawn Brown had a goal and an assist. Their OKC's lineup is looking pretty strong, as they are an established side in the USL. So they've had a little bit of time to build up. With them beating a team like Phoenix right before they're going to play us in the final preseason game, and then we'll go straight into the regular season. Are you at all worried that they are does it seem like they're hitting form a little bit quicker than we are in terms of making that first game a real contest?
I think so. And it definitely is, you know, a concern. And with a team like that, I was starting to hit stride right before the season started. It was definitely scary. I kind of wish we would have seen a little bit more from El Paso. You know, I get it why we scheduled some games against some lower level teams. Would have been nice to maybe seen like one or two more preseason game against some USL squads, maybe one MLS team. Like I know some of these USL squads were doing. I understand it. They got to get these guys ready, got to get them to gel. But it definitely brings some concern for that first game. And we're just hoping that, at least I'm just hoping that these guys click during that OKC game and see, okay, all right, this is how the USL runs. This is how OKC's going to play. Hopefully they kind of see the level of talent that we're going to see after playing New Mexico and after playing San Antonio. Hopefully it hits them during the OKC preseason game at least, and be like, all right, no, we got to turn it up.
We'd be remiss if we didn't mention the fact that, you know, El Paso has had a couple of good results or a few good results in preseason. And really the only hiccups have been those two. And you know, it's not really a hiccup to go to San Antonio and come away 0-0. Kept a clean sheet at the end of the day. And it is, 3-1 against FC Juarez as well. So not bad. Not a terrible preseason as we head into this OKC preseason game, but it does look like they might just be a little bit ahead of the power curve compared to us at this point.
No, and I definitely agree. I mean, but at the same time, you got to think somebody like OKC, most USL squads, you know, they've been together since last season, and compared to, you know, a team like El Paso first season, and players are barely learning each other's names, barely learning how to communicate on the field with language barriers and stuff. So I think by midseason we'll be in great form, but I'm hoping that at the beginning of the season we don't lose too many chances on some points and we can steal some here and there.
Absolutely. So I had this towards the end, but I want to plug it now. So we're talking about OKC. OKC is the first match of the season. We talked last time about Eighth Notch. There's a couple of things that are going on now. So first things first is that, Eighth Notch merch is going on sale to the public, this week, and they've got scarves and t-shirts. I know you've seen the design. How do you feel about that scarf design?
I like the scarf design. I really do. The shirt too, I really like it. I just think it's ridiculous, the whole fiasco they went into to get the yellow in there.
Yeah, that was a little bit ridiculous. just trying to get a third color on the shirt.
Right. But past that, I mean, I love the designs. The bigger guy, I wish he would have carried a 3X, but I guess I got involved in the process a little too late.
Yeah.
But besides that, I love it though. I can't wait to pick mine up.
Yeah, the scarves are class. Like I'm really pleased with the scarves. The checker, I'm a sucker for that checker pattern on the one side. I think the script is really cool too. Like the font they used on Eighth Notch, yeah. You know, We Are the Eighth Notch. It looks great. So they also confirmed, Eighth Notch confirmed that that pre-match party on the 9th before the OKC Energy game, before that inaugural game, it's going to be at Whiskey Blonde, which is downtown on San Antonio, right, around the corner from the stadium. A pre-match party there starts at 2. There's all kinds of drink specials. It's family friendly, all that stuff. And then at the end, as it gets close to match time, we're going to march, you know, Eighth Notch is going to march from Whiskey Blonde and into the stadium. I mean, that party, I think, is going to be such a blast down there. It should be completely going off. I know you'll be in attendance for sure.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to be there. I'll probably get there a little before to just get started early. But it's going to be fun, man. I'm honestly really looking forward to the march to the stadium. Everybody going in is one. I'm glad you're keeping it family friendly, you know, so everybody can bring their kids in and stuff and really turn it into a family event. But it's going to be fun, guys. Even if you're not seeing a 105, definitely come out to the pregame party, get to know everybody, and let's all march the stadium together and come in as one.
So the next event that they have, is the season ticket pickup event. Are you going to one of the times on Friday or Saturday to pick up your season ticket?
I'm still working on getting my seats, actually.
Oh, okay.
I have some financial stuff that's why I was bugging everybody for contact info. I was getting ready to actually call in today.
Right.
But I had some stuff come up, and I think I'm going to have to probably wait till payday, which unfortunately is that weekend of the first game. But at least I've got my ticket for the first game. And,
right.
You know, I'm still going to work on getting my season ticket, but it's just, you know, life throws a curveball at you, unfortunately.
Yeah, it happens, man.
But
for those who do have season tickets, it's on Friday from 5 to 8, I believe, p.m., and then Saturday from 10 to 1. There's a party in the West Star Bank Club when you can go pick up your tickets. Cash bar, though.
There's a cash bar.
They couldn't spring for the open bar for the the season ticket holders. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It's because they're using the cash bar to pay for the yellow.
They had to get – that's how they got that third color in there is – yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That cash bar is going to fund it. Yeah, no, for sure. So our last kind of segment here, which will be probably most of the time because there's a lot to dig into here, are our listener questions, which we always appreciate you guys sending in. Except for at Despadre, aka Adrian, for sending in song lyrics. we assume, I don't know what he was going for. You looked it up. You said, who'd you say it was by?
Hold on. I actually pull it back up. I was about to say, I'll let you deal with this one. But I feel like Leo Sayer, You Make Me Feel Like Dancing.
You Make Me Feel Like Dancing. So, Adrian, I don't know exactly what you were going for, but I just want to put on the record that you're a dick, and next time send in a regular question like everybody else. No, just kidding. Love you, Adrian, except you are a dick. So, anyways, moving swiftly on to the real questions. So, we got hit with a litany of questions from at Hinchas Liga MX's. He does a lot of stuff. Like, he's been interacting with us a lot. It's really awesome because he does have thoughtful questions. So that first one, I'll let you address this one first. What are you guys expecting for the home opener in terms of the crowd, pregame stuff, atmosphere, and how is the Eighth Notch looking? I know we talked a little bit about it, but how is it all coming together? You think you th- think it's going to go off?
I am expecting it to go off, man. I think the crowd's going to be great. Pre-game, we've got the pre-game party going on at Whiskey Blonde that we've talked about. I think it's going to be crazy. I think the whole everybody in the stadium is going to get into it. I know Daniel said last week he's expecting like a Dortmund feel. I'm more hoping for like on a lower scale, maybe like a Portland type of thing going.
Sure.
but I think everybody's going to be dancing, singing, jumping up and down all match. I think whoever's not in 105 after a while is going to get into it, try to get the team going. It's going to be great. I think the atmosphere is going to be great. I'm just hoping that everybody keeps showing up the rest of the season, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I think riding the eighth notch, it's looking great, man.
Yeah.
If you guys, I think we're working on the TIFO next week.
Yeah.
And it's looking great. I think they've got everything with the club going right, and I'm looking forward to it, man. And you guys should too.
Yeah. Anyone listening, like if you're interested enough in the team to listen to the podcast and you live in El Paso, then there's no excuse for not being involved. The coolest thing about the eighth notch for me is the fact that while it is a club sanctioned supporter group, I don't want anyone to get it twisted that, I mean, this was created by supporters. So like it wouldn't exist if it weren't for guys like Lou, and Fernie and Paunchy, all those guys who are just out there, like they're doing the hard work, getting on the ground. Mika as well with the merch and branding and all that stuff. Like all those guys and gals that are just like, they're doing the hard work out there. And yes, the club is like, has helped with certain things, but make no mistake that like the eighth notch wouldn't exist without the individuals who put the work in. And that's what makes it so strong and what will make it so special come match day. Cause it's really something that is, you know, El Paso created. This is not some kind of like plastic supporters group that was just like made by a team or something like that. This is like El Paso built. And yeah, I couldn't be more excited about the potential there. The next question is the expectation for the team in the season. I think we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but I mean, if I can put you on the spot, where do you see us kind of falling? I know we're new to the USL, so this is going to be kind of a learning experience throughout, but where do you see us kind of falling in terms of where we'll end up in that Western Conference this year?
First, what I want you guys to know, based off the odds that came out, El Paso was given a 1 in 100 chance to win the league, which I find some pretty disrespectful. I mean, I get it for, you know, first year in the league, but I see us finishing maybe mid table, definitely making the playoffs. I can see us, you know, maybe getting about anywhere from low 40 to high 40s in the points this season, which I think would be enough to get us into the playoffs, make a little bit of noise. I mean, I would love for us to go far, but my expectations are us to finish, you know, mid table this season. Sneak into the playoffs and see what we can do from there.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be an uphill battle, right? Like, I mean, most expansion sides in any league, in any sport, struggle to adapt in their first season. The predictions out of 538, they put together all kinds of stats and all this stuff, like basically a power ranking and odds of everybody making the playoffs in percentages and all this. They give us a less than 1% chance to win the league and only a 24% chance to make the playoffs. We are not the lowest chance. That's for most of the MLS 2 teams, and Tulsa Roughnecks only given a 3% chance to make the playoffs. But there are a lot of solid, solid teams, and it is going to be a challenge. Teams who have been around for a while, like Phoenix, Sacramento Republic, Reno is a solid squad, San Antonio as well, and it'll be a fight. I don't think it's as predictable of a league as other leagues, you know, in the world where you see kind of a separation between the haves and the have-nots. I think it's a little less predictable than that, but it is going to be an uphill battle. So I think you're spot on, like probably mid-table, and with a kind of an outside chance of sneaking into the playoffs as well.
Yeah, and I think one thing that El Paso's got going for it is just like any other expansion club that's coming in this year, Mark really built this roster very differently than everybody else. Everybody brought in a bunch of USL veterans, guys that have been playing in the States for a while. And Mark went out and got guys from Europe, went to South America, got guys from there. And he's got a big diversity within the club. And I think it's going to surprise a bunch of people this season.
Yeah, I think Lowry is kind of the wild card. And I said it a few days ago from the podcast Twitter account that, you know, obviously there's a lot of there by the end of the season, we'll look back and we'll say, oh, it's a good thing we signed X player, or, you know, this was a good decision. But at the end of the day, I don't think there's a bigger signing that this club made than getting a guy like Mark to run this team, because he just exudes the class and the know-how and just the desire to have a team kind of created in his image and playing the way he wants them to play. And if he can exert that style, if he can get this team playing that way, then I think there is a lot of damage that we can do to teams, especially once we're playing fluidly. So we said in terms of the playing style at home and away, this leads into his next question. So do you think the way we approach games is going to be different with the crowd behind us? Are we going to probably take a more attacking approach when we've got, you know, the eighth notch trying to pull that ball into the goal?
No, definitely. I think you want to see your club do well at home as well as on the road. And Lowry has a history of his clubs actually doing better on the road, you know. Hopefully it can be a mixed balance here. We get points at home, we get points on the road. One thing that I was hearing Lowry talk about was the size of the pitch that's going to be here at home. It's as wide as he wants it, so we can play that possession game and play on the wings. But the length does kind of, it is a little shorter than most fields. So that definitely does affect it a little bit. But he's got the wideness that he wants to play that possession game. I think that's really going to help. That's the only thing that really does concern me, is his history, that his clubs usually do better on the road. But I'm hoping he can bring some of that success home.
Well, that's what I think. It is an interesting situation as well in this season, because with the teams that he's had in the past, I'm hoping that the environment that he is greeted with at Southwest University Park is a lot different than what he's seen, you know, across lower league soccer in the U.S. And I'm hoping if eighth notch can really create that atmosphere in Southwest University, then I mean, there can be an effect, kind of that 12th man, like a lot of people talk about. It's a cliche, but the bottom line is a lot of these USL teams are not going to be used to playing in front of, you know, raucous crowds. It's just the nature of it. There's only a few places in the league that are really, really good at creating a crazy atmosphere. Louisville is up there. Indy 11's pretty good. And I'll definitely, Sac Republic is notorious for having big crowds. But there's a lot of teams that play in front of, you know, a lot less people. And so, I mean, there is that too. So if we can put that on our side, I mean, there might be a few points out there to pick up just through the crowd as well.
Yeah. And I think El Paso has been known for people to hate our fan bases. I mean, we're pretty rowdy, and we not only let the other opposing team know how we feel, we let our own players know how we feel. So they're definitely going to not want to lose out on points at home. So hopefully, you know, and nobody's going to like us, right? And welcome to the wrong side of the tracks, you know?
Yeah. Is that kind of the culture that you would want to see around the team? Is leading back into another question. Do you want to see that kind of, El Paso versus everyone type approach, not only from, you know, the supporter side, but from the club as well, in terms of the manager and the players?
No, definitely. And that's the culture I've grown up with any sports team I follow, you know, and I love it. I love being the underdog. I love being the most hated person in the room. it just brings it to when you do succeed, it's even a bigger payoff. And why not piss some people off along the way, you know?
Yeah, no, it's satisfying, certainly. And I think I think we've seen already in a couple of the matches. So, I mean, when New Mexico United came in, it was a friendly on a, you know, on a training field. And that started to get chippy. It started to get, you know, guys, you know, talking trash. It started getting physical. And apparently during the San Antonio match as well, early on in the first half, there was a little bit of a scuffle after a tackle and everything. So I think it's good to see that there's a level of fight. These guys are competitors even when the match isn't competitive, in the sense that it's a friendly, it's an exhibition, it's for fitness, but they're still going to fight to win. And I think they're going to be out there striving to kind of uphold that. They're never going to, you know, they're never going to give up easy. And that's really what you want to see first season out of a team is, you know, results may not always go our way. We may come up against some teams that are just flat out better than us. But you never want to see a team give up. And that's what I think we've got a group of fighters on our hands, and I don't think the manager would let them give up either.
Yeah, no, definitely. And these players, I think they're going to push all 90 minutes plus. And as the supporters, we're not going to let them start to tire out, hands on hips, looming over, you know. And hopefully, you know, they've had enough time here in this mountain area to get used to it, and hopefully gives us that little advantage when teams want to come here. And definitely, like you said, Lowry's not going to let them give up at all, man. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. So our last question comes from at @E19Tuzo, who is actually the esports manager for Locomotive, which they hired a couple of weeks ago, or signed to a contract a couple of weeks ago. Do you have any opinion? I know you do some streaming on your Twitch, but do you have any kind of take at Locomotive going the esports route like this early in their existence?
I mean, I personally love it. I just want to know when our tryout's happening.
Yeah.
I want to know if it's scouting around or if it's going to have like an open tryout or what. I just got FIFA downloaded again. Got to get back into it. But
yeah,
no, but I mean, I love it. And I think we're the second USL club to do it.
Yeah, I think so.
Obviously it's what's taking over the world right now. We got huge groups like FaZe out there. We have TSM, Ghost that are really taking over the gaming scene right now. And a bunch of NBA teams started that 2K league, which is really taking off and gets a massive amount of viewers. Even just like I've come across it on Twitch where they're just having a practice session. They got 5,000-10,000 people watching them.
Right.
A practice session. And then when they got their big tournaments, they got over 100,000 people watching them. And it's a great avenue for the team, and it brings a little more exposure to them. And I say, why not? It's what's taking over right now. It really is. It's lead of the industry.
Yeah. No, and it was interesting to see, because it's one of those things that, you know, the way traditional kind of organizations operate, you wouldn't expect them to go, you know, they've just started on the soccer side. And you wouldn't expect a move, you know, this early to add something like that. But I think it is, it's an audacious move by the club. I think it's smart. Just opening that other avenue for interest in the team. And I think it'll be interesting to see how they integrate that into the organization itself. Because obviously right now it is just the FIFA side, and it's just the one guy for now, as far as I've seen. But expanding that out and locking it down, seeing how it's integrated across the organization, I think will be really, really interesting. So his question, to get back on track, is we talked about this last time, but maybe we can broaden the conversation. So who's the player to watch for this season? And he said he'll put himself aside for the question, so don't say me, please. which we a see you. Late, all right. at least we know he's not lacking in confidence in coming into the esports side. So so you've said that Logan Ketterer is one of your players to watch. Who else in the team is kind of piquing your interest and maybe has caught your eye in preseason?
I think one other guy that's really caught my eye and one of the more experienced players on the side is Yuma. I want to see how he wants to distribute the ball. I think, like you said last week, not just we need that experience on the back end, not just passing it to the first blue jersey you see, and see how he commands the team and see how he distributes the ball. So I think he's going to be a vital part to the midfield. And I think we talked about he's playing a little more defensive mid,
right?
Which I think is very vital. And I'm really interested to see how he's going to go ahead and organize the team and stuff. And has Lowry announced who's going to be the captain on the squad yet?
I'm not sure there's been an official announcement. I'd be surprised. Well, actually, you know, I don't know. I think the assumption by a lot of people is that it would be Omar. But I don't know. I think there's plenty of candidates in the team who have either kind of revealed themselves to be key players or you know have the experience to fill that role.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I believe it's gonna be him, and it's gonna be another player to watch outside of Ketterer.
Yeah,
it's just to me a matter of how he commands the field. To me, that's another guy I really want to watch, and obviously, it's somebody that a lot of people know from his time around the world, and people are expecting to bring great play. But I want to see how he directs this young locker room and how he's able to command on the field. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So the guy I have that's different is Meshack Jerome. I'm sure I'm saying it's probably not Jerome, but. But yeah, Meshack Jerome, he's a center back, has basically, it seems, locked down that second center back spot next to Chiro. And he has loads of experience playing in the U.S. He's played at the MLS level as well. He's, you know, played it for Orlando City, Sporting KC, Montreal Impact. And then most recently, he played with Charlotte Independence in the USL, and then he's played for Jacksonville Armada for the last few years, which is obviously where he met Lowry and where they built that rapport. So he was named by USL's media was named one of the top 10 defenders to watch in the USL Championship this season. So.
Yeah, I did see that.
So yeah, a little bit of hype building. But it, I think it's interesting cause he's 28 years old. So, he is, you know, one of the more experienced heads. But we all have kind of seen that calmness that Chiro brings, to the back line, to those who have been able to watch the friendlies. But Meshack has that as well about him. And I love to see the defenders that look, you know, capable on the ball as well. You don't want guys who just boot it as soon as they get it. So
just clear right on out.
Yeah, exactly. So it looks like we've got guys who are capable of playing out from the back, and that's always encouraging. It's especially, you know, it's what the manager wants. And so I think he's found the personnel to do that out from the back, and it'll be interesting to see the impact that Meshack has over the course of the season. I do want to, because we talked, you know, you made the prediction that Ketterer was one of the players to watch, you know, last week, and he comes out with a man of the match performance. So I mean, obviously, we're building credibility here in terms of our prediction skills, but we've got a. Last week I just tweeted out kind of a hit and hope sort of lineup or projected starting 11 with very little context, and I just want everybody to know that I was one off. I was only one player away.
Yeah, I remember
away.
Seeing that.
I was only when one
they,
player
when away. They finally announced who's playing, you know. And
yeah, the team had a lineup.
You were like, hey, guys, just letting y'all know. I saw y'all on Twitter. You're like, hey, guys, just letting y'all know. I was just one off.
It was just the one. So they ended up starting Nick Ross in that central midfield spot next to Yuma instead of I had put Edson Partida down, who is on loan. It was Nick Ross who got the spot. It does look more or less like that front line is going to be, on a day-to-day, it's going to be Omar up top with Calvin Resende on the left, Derek Gebhardt on the right, and Sebastian Contreras playing in that number 10 role. And so as we kind of get settled, it's becoming apparent that, you know, what we talked about last week, those other three not named Omar are gonna have a lot on their plate in terms of they're gonna have to contribute. Although I do think Omar will have a big goal scoring season. I think a lot of teams will come in making it their mission to keep him from scoring. So
no.
The other players to watch are anyone not named Omar who plays in the attacking half of the field, in my opinion.
Real quick, what's your prediction? How many goals is Omar going to end with?
I'm going to say, let's see. Let me not just pull a number out of my rear end.
And whoever's listening, I want you guys to remember this.
Yeah.
So at the end of the season, we can call Phil out.
Yeah, put it up on the board. You know, that's I don't know, but let Omar put it up in his locker and that way he can prove me wrong or something. I don't know.
There you go.
I want to say that, let's see, the Golden Boot last year was won with 26 goals by Cameron Lancaster, who played for Louisville City last year and is now on Nashville SC. And will be going up with Nashville when they join MLS next season. So 26 was the top, and then 20 was the next highest. So I'll go for an even 20. I'll go for an even 20.
Even 20?
Yeah. One of the top scorers in the league, maybe not the Golden Boot, but up there.
Okay. I'm going to go with 18.
Okay.
I'm just going based off how he did with Las Vegas last season. I did look that up as well with the Golden Boot, see how he's going to do. But I think, you know, he'll be around that 18 to 20 range.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, he's too much of a focal point to not – he's going to get goals, I think. But I think he'll have the odd game where, you know, he just gets kind of marked out of it. But I'm just hoping, you know, that first game, I'm hoping he can get off the mark. Because there's nothing worse than, you know, like going on a drought with a new team. And even though he's from El Paso, the last thing you want, you just want him to get that first one out of the way. Because if it takes a while to get that first one, I think we've all seen it on different teams. The longer it takes to get that first one, the worse it's going to be.
Yeah, exactly. And Omar, if you're listening, prove us wrong, man.
Yeah. We'll get that Golden Boot, brother. I think he's 100% capable of getting the Golden Boot. It's just a matter of I think he truly will need contributions around him to get to that mark. Otherwise, teams are just going to key on him every single attacking move we have.
Yeah, but it's gonna be a good season, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, that brings us to the end of our listener questions, and indeed to the end of the show. If you guys have enjoyed this, please subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform, whether that be iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. There were a couple that people added me. I had no idea they even existed. I think Castbox. I don't know. But if you liked it, you know, do that. It's super easy. And while you stop by, if you leave a review, that really helps out in terms of the other people finding it. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Seriously Loco, if you look us up. And yeah, Austin, you got any final parting thoughts before we sign off?
Guys, we're a week and a half away. Show up. Don't forget, guys, Whiskey Blonde, 2 o'clock, 8th Notch will be present. We'll have that march going to the stadium. Make sure you guys show up. If you guys need your tickets, you already know, 235-GOAL, call them up. We need a packed Southwest University Park, guys. Definitely let us know what you guys think. Tune in every week, every Wednesday. Seriously Loco.
All right. Thank you guys for listening, and until next time, stay loco.